hello and welcome back. Welcome back to session number two, or day number two. And I hope you're as excited as I am, because as you've seen or heard so far, this is some really powerful stuff that's really going to change your ability to influence people. Now, you may be an overachiever, like I said before, and you may have jumped ahead and popped in the next recording, and that's great if you did. That's outstanding. I got a simple question for you, though. Did you do your assignment? Did you come up with some compelling reasons to follow through? If you did, that's absolutely awesome. Congratulations. But if you didn't, I'm going to ask you, as a matter of fact, I'm going to insist that you shut the recording off right now and go back and do the assignment. It's very, very important, because remember, knowledge is not power. Learning something isn't all there is to it. Doing something about it literally puts it in your nervous system so that it becomes part of who you are, and you will more automatically do the things that you need to do. And also, what we're going to talk about next relates to the assignment. Now, the truth is, people don't act unless they feel some kind of pressure to do so. In other words, people will not buy your product or service, or do their homework, or take out the trash, or do whatever it is, unless they feel some sort of pressure to do so, or some sort of pressure to buy. Now, there's two kinds of pressure. There's external pressure, and that's obviously created from the outside, maybe by a salesperson or some sort of outside influence. And then the second type of pressure is internal pressure, and that's created from some innate desire to do something or have something or be something. Now, which one do you think is the most powerful? Well, if you guessed internal, then you're right. Internal pressure is much more powerful, and it's a much more powerful motivator, if you will, than external pressure. With internal pressure, people buy for their reasons, and they believe that they are the source of that pressure. They're also much more likely to follow through and feel good about doing it. Said differently, they're more likely to do it automatically. Now, what would it mean to your income, or your quality of life, or your happiness, your success, or whatever, if you could learn to consistently create strong internal pressure in your customer, or your kids, or your spouse, or whoever it is that you're influencing? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's find out. Here's Tony.
So what really makes people buy? Commercials are a billion-dollar business. They really affect the way we think, what we buy, what we eat, what we wear. They're the primary source of influence in our society, many people believe, maybe even more than our schooling system. The average child today, by the time they're 18 years old, have spent more time in front of a television set being exposed to these programming devices or these selling devices than they have literally been in school itself. So it might be useful to see, for organizations to spend that much money and time, what do they believe the process of influence really is? What is the science of persuasion? And I'm here to tell you that it's not probably what you and I were traditionally taught. Traditional sales taught me, at least, that what you're supposed to do is find somebody's needs, and of course you knew what those were before you arrived, and what you're supposed to do is fill those needs, and by filling those needs, the customer would buy. That's true. And it's not true. Like a lot of things in white, maybe it's not quite as black and white as that. I would say to you that people don't really buy needs per se. At least that's not what they buy first. What people really buy are wants. Think about it. There are a lot of needs people have, but they still don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it till we really want something, till we're motivated. I believe that selling is the process of motivation. That literally, if you watch a commercial, it is a motivational device designed to influence your behavior, and it is extremely successful. That's why they run them over and over and over again. All of these things have one thing in common that I want you and I to really take a look at, and that is, how long does it really take to influence people? And what is the actual process in reality compared to what you and I have been taught? Because there is a rather big difference. And that big difference, I think, is seeing that influence happens in a moment. It doesn't happen through a 45-minute sales presentation. It's like all those things in the sales presentation set up a moment or two where a person all of a sudden links up in their head that this is something they really want desperately, that it relates to a deep desire, and they can justify it. And those are the two elements we're going to talk about. How to build tremendous want for your product, and how to be able to let people, now that they want to, be able to justify getting it. And I'll remind you of this, and I'll probably say this a lot. If you get people to want something bad enough, they'll usually find a way to justify it with just a little bit of help from you. So, what is the process? What makes us not only buy, but literally do anything? The answer is really simple. Everything we do for a reason or a series of reasons. But what kind of reasons do we use? The primary motivating factor behind all human behavior is the desire to avoid pain and the desire or need to gain pleasure. Those two twin forces are what drive all human behavior. Everything you do is some description or some outlay of that particular idea. I'll take something simple. Ladies in the audience, raise your hand if you're wearing makeup. Come on, raise your hand, people will notice. Oh, good. Now, I got a question for you. Why are you wearing makeup today? Did you wake up this morning and think to yourself, God, I love this process. I just can't wait to put this stuff on. I doubt it. But how many of you woke up this morning and you didn't really want to put on your makeup? It was early or coming to class, but you decide, well, I'm going to put it on because by putting it on, what it would mean to me is, you know, I feel better about myself. Or what it means is people will feel more attracted to me or think I look better. How many of you did it for that reason? And how many of you, though, didn't do it for those reasons? You thought, I don't want to do this. In fact, you thought, how come men don't have to do this? You know, but you thought, I better do it because if I don't, somebody's going to say, what happened to your face? How many did it for that reason? Come on. So we do things in life for one of two reasons. We either do it to gain pleasure or to avoid pain, and sometimes obviously a combination of the two, but those are the twin forces of motivation for all human behavior. So if you and I want to persuade someone of anything, we have to understand that people don't just do things because we tell them to. People do things for reasons. In other words, people have to associate the action of buying to creating tremendous pleasure and the action of not buying to creating pain. That is the master formula to persuasion. Traditionally, what people think of is, even if they think of selling as something like motivation, they try and get somebody really pumped up and they say, you know, gosh, if you get this, you'll get all these benefits. But I'm here to tell you that you can't just have somebody motivated out of their desire to want. You've also got to have them associate in their mind, actually feel that not buying would be painful. What do I mean painful? That they would be missing something, that they would be losing, that they would be alone. Any emotional wound or hurt. Because I want you to know this, and I know this sounds horrible, but I believe the best study of life is how it is, not how we think it should be. And the best study of life is this, in my opinion. In everything that I've researched or studied, people will do more to avoid pain than they will ever do to get pleasure. I'll give you a classic example. Which are you more motivated to do? Save $1,000 or keep someone from stealing $1,000 that's in your pocket? I would suggest to you that for most people, they're going to try and hang on to what they've got. They're going to try and avoid what they would consider to be losing or pain. So what we're going to talk about then is how can we create these twin motivations happening and do it with integrity and do it with elegance. I'm not talking about manipulating somebody or lying to them or showing them something that's not there. I'm talking about assisting them in getting what they want by utilizing the most powerful force within them for creating change. Now, when I'm talking about this, what we're really talking about then in terms of emotions is we're talking about consequences. You and I, as salespeople, as persuaders, must sell consequences. Positive consequences if someone does well, in other words, the heaven if you do, and negative consequences if they don't. Now, we can't be so blatant to come out and just say that, because if you just come out and say that, the prospect will go, you're just trying to sell me. So there is a process to get to this point. Obviously, one, that prospect's going to have some questions in their mind. Question number one they're probably going to have is, do you really have their best interest in mind? Can they trust you? Are you here just to make a sale? You know, can, when you say something, is it, you know, being filtered through your needs and desires, or is it really about them? And that's why when we get into the actual step-by-step sales process, I'm going to teach you 10 steps to sales mastery. And of course, one of those will be able to create that incredible bond where people know who you are, that you're not just some person popping around here who's just trying to cram in a sale, but you're a professional who definitely cares. And if you can't meet their needs, you're not going to. You're going to get a great referral and help somebody you can help and make a great friend in the process. And if they get that and know that, that'll eliminate that first question. The next questions they're going to have in their mind are, well, you know, what is this? What's in it for me? And what has to happen for them to get persuaded is they must link in their mind or associate they're going to get what they want most in the world through this product. Let me give you an example then. If I said to you, would you please go jump off a cliff? All right? What are you going to do? Well, probably, unless you're in a deep trance, you probably say, well, what are you, crazy? I'm not going to do this. Why not? There's only one reason. You associate to jumping off a cliff negative consequences, pain, a form of pain, like death, for example. And so sure enough, you're not going to go for it. If you had some ultimate man or woman in your mind, and I said, would you please go kiss that person? How many of you want to do it? Let me see a show of hands there. Oh, come on, raise your hand. I see you. Make sure you're paying attention here. Good. The bottom line is, the reason you're willing to do that is you would associate what to it? Pleasure. Now if I said, I want you to kiss them, but while you're there, your spouse is right next to you, watching very closely. Now you've got another association. My point is, the meaning of whether it's going to mean pain or whether it's going to mean pleasure will determine how you're going to behave.